Morning, everyone. It's good to see you all. It's great to join together here, hey, in fellowship this morning. My name's Dominic. If you didn't catch my cheer squad who called out my name, and I'm part of the team here, and it's a real privilege and honour to be able to lead this morning with you. This week, you might not have known that Sam and I, as your leaders, will, and our kids, and our pets, and Oreo and Clarabelle, who we don't bring in here very often at all. This is our final year here at Gungahlin as we've been reappointed or reposted to the Long Jetty Salvation Army up on the Central Coast. It's a blessing and honour to be able to lead this community. We were very humbled when we first came here 6.5 years ago. Sorry. And we feel we're excited to go to where we're going. We're excited at what's ahead. But there's a grief process even in this for us as well. It's the only way to describe it. Yeah, absolutely. And we've had longer to process this than what you guys have had. We love you guys. We've loved our time here, and I'm glad we can honestly say we're not, I can't wait to leave. I can't wait till January. Because that is not the truth. We've valued our time. We value our time and continued leadership. But we also commend to you Captains Matt and Jody Sutcliffe, who'll be coming to replace us. They come with their four children, and we commend them. They've followed us. They went to Shoalhaven after we left there, so they know how to lead after us. Maybe they're well equipped to do that. Just pray for them over and over. But we really, we commend them to you. They're going to be different to us, absolutely. But we have good faith and trust knowing that they are the right people for the next season. We believe that. And we will believe that. And we will pray into that knowing that they will be great people who will carry over. So, I know you will get alongside them as you have done us. You will love and accept them the way that you have loved us and our quirks and different things that we do. But you've come alongside us, and we anticipate and look forward to the future ministry here. Friends, this year for us has been like the ice cap or the pinnacle for what's happening here. And we're just so excited to see what's happening and to see what God wants to do through that. We're happy to talk about it if you want to catch up with us at all about what's ahead for us. But I want to bookend that now. Is that okay? Because we come to worship, and that's what we come to do. We do that through reading the Word, through sharing together in community. We use song because we use song. It's just an amazing expression to be able to do that. And we're going to do that in a minute. And as I always say, I'm going to play, I'm going to sing, I invite you to join with me. But I wonder this morning, have you come expectant to worship? Have you come with an expectant heart? Or is it routine? Did you fall out of bed and go, I've got to go to church today because that's what I've got to do? And some of the friends, I do that some days. I get up and go, that's what I've got to do. But I want to center myself this morning, be reminded that we come to speak and to expect to hear from the creator of the universe, the God who created me unique, the God who created you. But the privilege is we get to do it together. We get to worship together to lift his name up on high. Psalm 121 says this, I look to them up to the mountains. Does my help come from there? My help comes from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. That's who we worship this morning, the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. He will not let you stumble and fall. The one who watches over you will not sleep. Indeed, he who watches over Israel never tires and never sleeps. The Lord himself watches over you. The Lord stands beside you as a protective shade. Stands beside you as a protected shade. How's that? Isn't that good? The sun will not hurt you by the day, nor the moon by night. The Lord keeps you from all evil and preserves your life. The Lord keeps watch over you as you come and go, both now and forever. Do you like that? both now, so he's watching over you today, both now and forever, the protective shade that we get to walk in his shade. Doesn't mean life's going to be easy or perfect, does it? We wish it would be, but this side of eternity, it's not the case. But at least we know we don't walk out in the blistering hot sun by ourselves, metaphorically, of course. We do that sometimes as well, but that's what it was. Today we have the opportunity of a celebration or a commitment on some of the youngest members of our church here at Gungahlin Salvos. I'm going to ask if Duncan can come grab our flag, please, and stand with me. And I also want to invite Miriam, Susanna and Nathaniel to come and stand with me up here, please. Come on down, guys. Come and join and stand beside me here. And as you'll see this morning, they're fashioning these lovely Salvation Army kids shirts. Don't they look very smart in them this morning? They're great looking shirts, aren't they? Hey, Sam even wears one, even though she's not a kid. You'll see her get around in one, but they look even better on the kids here this morning. A friend of mine some time ago was asked to share his testimony. He was at this stage in his 30s, family, starting to do more in ministry. And in doing so, his simple testimony was this. He goes, "When I became a junior soldier in the Salvation Army, I made a promise. And I never took that promise back. And the promise that he made, he says, I know that Jesus is my Saviour from sin. I've asked him to forgive my sins and I will trust him to keep me good by his help. I will be his loving and obedient child and will help others to follow him. I will promise to pray, to read my Bible and to lead a life that is clean in thought, word and deed. And I will not use anything else that may injure my body in mind, including harmful drugs, alcohol and tobacco." What a promise that he made as a child sustained him right through his life. He goes, "This is the promise that I made and I didn't take it back." Now, you might go, what is a junior soldier? And this is what the official term on the website says, so I've stolen it from there. A junior soldier is a lifestyle, not a program. It is an opportunity for children to explore God's word for themselves and apply his truth to their lives. Did you hear that? Yeah? You guys have already been through all this, I know. Junior soldiers are junior members of the Salvation Army. They are children who have made a decision to be a follower of Jesus. Hey, what a decision that they make to stand up and do that. They want to grow and express their faith through ministry within the Salvation Army. Now, if you were here last week, you would have seen these guys firsthand lead our church. Hey, what a great Sunday that was last week too, and they did an amazing job to be able to stand up and to lead our church. That's ministry 101 right there. To get to this point in time, they've had to complete how many classes is it? I'm looking. Five introductory classes they've had to complete and demonstrate their desire to make this commitment as a follower of Jesus and in the context of the Salvation Army here at Gungahlin. So as part of their promise that they make today, they've actually got to read the promise. I know you're going to hear it twice, but I think it's a great promise to read out. So they're going to read that for us, and I'm going to give them their little promise card, which they get to sign, which I'm going to give them to the right. Susanna, Miriam, and Nathaniel. So Miriam, Susanna, and Nathaniel, are you willing to make that promise today? Are you willing to sign on the dotted line and commit to follow Jesus? So in doing so then, I'm going to look at you for a moment, Susanna, is that okay? Susanna, in the name of our Lord Jesus, whom we love and serve, I now receive you as a junior soldier of the Gungahlin Salvation Army. Miriam. In the name of our Lord Jesus, whom we love and serve, I now receive you as a junior soldier of the Gungahlin Salvation Army. Congratulations. And Nathaniel, in the name of our Lord Jesus, whom we love and serve, I now receive you as a junior soldier of the Salvation Army. Congratulations. How exciting is that? Now they're going to take a moment to walk over and to sign their cards. I'm going to ask Sam and Chris maybe go and give them a hand to do that. Is that okay? So if you guys want to make your way over there, Duncan's going to stay here and keep me company because I'm lonely. They're going to sign their promise card that they've got there today, and then we're going to pray for them as they do that. How exciting is that, hey, for our community here to see that that public commitment that they make. And it's a big step to stand out, to uphold that commitment in the community, at school and all different places they come, but they get to come and to learn about Jesus. You know, I love the fact that it's Junior Soldiers is not a program, but it's an opportunity for them to discover for themselves God's word. Were we successful?
Yeah.
We've all signed the cards? Yep. Chris, before you sit down, Chris is actually going to come and pray for these guys. Is that good? So, well, let's stand with them, hey, as we stand with them. There we go. Thanks.
Wow, how exciting. Does anyone else remember when they made their first commitment to Jesus? You might not have been a child. You might have been grown up. But you started a whole new relationship with the God of the universe. How amazing. And you started a whole new life. You were born again into the kingdom of God. So we're just so proud of you and grateful to God that you're all three here. As I was praying about praying this morning, I was asking God to tell me how to pray for you guys. And I think I had a picture in my mind of a door. The door's open and you're standing on the threshold, meaning you're standing just ready to step through. There's a whole new beginning that's going to start happening for you guys. It might not feel very different, but it is different in the heavenly realms. That means in God's spot. God's heavenly realm is there and here. And you're about to step into a new place in that heavenly realm. And as Dom said about his friend, he prayed that prayer many, many years ago and he hasn't taken it back. So I hope that will be your testimony too in 30 years' time. Maybe you'll stand up in front of a group of people like this and say, I made a commitment at the Gungahlin Salvation Army 30 years ago and I haven't gone back on my promise. So Lord, Holy Spirit, we pray that you would come and that you would minister in a way that is powerful and real in Susanna's life, powerful and real in Miriam's life, powerful and real in Nathaniel's life. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill these children so that they can be all that you've planned in advance for them to be. From the foundation of the world, the Bible says, God has had a plan for each one of you. Walk in his plan and you won't go wrong. So I pray God's blessing on each of you today and that today will be the beginning of a very special walk with Jesus from this point forward and forever more. Amen.
So we're now going to have our Bible reading. And I met a lovely young lady, Achuk, today. She has come with her mum and her sister and brother. And Abby, Sarah, and Achuk and her sister, we all met together and we were looking at the wise and the foolish man, weren't we?
Yeah.
Yes. And Achuk has... I only asked her before the service, but she has agreed to do our Bible reading today.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
The death of John the Baptist. When Herod Antipas, the ruler of Galilee, heard about Jesus, he said to his advisors, "This must be John the Baptist raised from the dead. That is why he can do such miracles." For Herod had arrested and imprisoned John as favor to his wife, Herodias, the former wife of Herod's brother Philip. John had been telling Herod, "It is against God's law for you to marry her." Herod wanted to kill John, but he was afraid of riot because the people believed John was a prophet. But at a birthday party for Herod, Herodias' daughter performed a dance that greatly pleased him. So he promised with a vow to give her anything she wanted. At her mother's urging, the girl said, "I want the head of John the Baptist on a tray." Then the king regretted what he had said, but because of the vow he had made in front of his guests, he issued the necessary orders. So John was beheaded in prison, and his head was brought on a tray and given to the girl, who took it to her mother. Later, John's disciples came for his body and buried it. Then they went and told Jesus what had happened. As soon as Jesus heard the news, he left in a boat to a remote area to be alone. But the crowds heard where he was headed and followed on foot for many towns. Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick.
That is super brave, not only to be welcomed into a new church, but to jump up and read. So thank you, Achuk, for sharing in that way. We're going to, I want to explore the word a little bit more this morning, if that's okay. If you haven't got one already, we've got a sermon outline if you want one. Put up your hand, I'm sure someone will grab them and hand them out. Did everyone get one of these? Is anyone missing one who wants one? Yeah, if we can get a couple, Teresa's going to run and grab a couple. This is something we use to help us each Sunday, something you can take away. I don't know about you, I might hear someone say something, but then I might step away and go, actually, what did they just talk about? With this, you can look back this week and there's always a notes section on the back. Maybe you want to go and explore some of this or explore or challenge something that I say on a Sunday, but maybe that's the case. I'm going to pray while I hand them out. Keep your hand up if you haven't got one. Therese will get you one. But I just want to pray this morning before we kick off. So, Heavenly Father, may we open up our hearts and minds to your Spirit this morning. May we hear from you, not from the words that I speak, but through your Word and through the Holy Spirit of what you want to say to us each this morning. So we thank you for that. We think of those who aren't with us this morning for whatever reason. We just pray that you surround them with your love and your care wherever they find themselves these days, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. During lockdown, which seems like a long time ago now, it's about 2 years actually, Nathaniel and I used to make regular trips on our bikes up to the local park. We had our, you know, exercise hour or whatever we got. So we'd head up to the BMX track at Yerribee Ponds each day. That was our recreation time. I used to call it PE, call it whatever you want. But we'd go for a bit of a ride. But as a boy who likes to ride the bike, and I know back with my childhood, I love just slamming on the brakes, hey? Leaving, either kicking up the dirt, or once we got concrete at home, that was even better, wasn't it? You slam on the brakes and leave this nice black mark to my parents. Not so happy with that. But it certainly was one of those things. One particular day we headed out, we went up to the park, and as we left, you could see some of the stitching coming through the tyre. It was starting to get a little bit thin, a few too many skids, and obviously as parents were saying, don't do that. Don't keep doing that. Just started heading back home about 3 kilometres from home. Nathaniel's riding ahead, slams on the brake, and all of a sudden, bang! And all of a sudden, you know what that means? Yeah, it's going to be a very slow, painful trip home because that back tyre had certainly worn through. This week has been one of those weeks where it's quite, I feel quite worn. Sitting down to prepare for today, I was away from Sunday through Wednesday in Sydney, doing some training in Sydney, which was great. Then coming back, obviously, on Thursday, sharing news of what was ahead. Felt quite worn down, trying to think, I don't know,
what to do for, well, not that I don't know what to do for Sunday, I already had that sort of in the back of my mind, but just felt warm. You know, do you ever experience that in life? Where some days you just go, I just feel tired. I want to sit in my chair, hit the little button that puts my feet up, and forget about the world for a few moments to do that. We've all had that. We've all been hit by what sometimes seems like a war zone in our life, don't we? Our own personal war zone. We might have an argument with our spouse. We might clash with the kids over pretty much everything, particularly in the teenage bracket. I'm not saying that to my kids right now. They're glaring at me as I speak. No, there's no examples in that. Sometimes even just fighting to get up to go to work can be a fight, can be a challenge, can't it? We might lose those battles of goals we set for ourselves. Might be about, you know, trying to eat healthier, live healthier. Sometimes it's that pure battle that we experience by ourselves. We just keep fighting to keep our head above water to get through one day to the next. But some days think, I'm just so tired. I'm worn. How do I get through that? How does the goodness of God help us when we feel like that? And that's our sermon series we're looking at, living in the goodness of God. How does he do that? And as we continue to look at this, we're up to verse 5 today. And I want to have that up on the screen. We want to read up until verse 5 if we can together. Does that sound good? Yeah, let's read these together. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the right paths for his name's sake. Even when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff comfort me. You prepare a banquet for me in front of my enemies. Thank you. Feels odd finishing there, doesn't it? It's one of those verses we've learnt over time that we just want to get through to completion to finish that off. But we need to sit at that key verse today. And the key verse is, you prepare a banquet for me in front of my enemies. What in the world does that mean when it was written 3,000 years ago? We want to tear that apart today and to see what that means for us. It has things to do with you in particular, because God is our host. God is the host. It's God's idea. He is the host and you're getting an invitation to that banquet. You made it to the A-list. Hey, is that good? Yeah, you like that? Yeah, you want the red carpet, you know, that's rolled out there in front of you. And these are on the top of the sheet. They're already filled out this morning, that part anyway. It means things like being prepared. It's well planned. It's not a spontaneous banquet. It's not like off the cuff, hey, let's go to Macca's and have a feed. It's not about that at all. It's actually been planned. This is planned. It is prepared. It's an invitation to the king's table. Now, when we say the king's table, think about, you might have seen a movie in medieval times. They're in this big old concrete castle that just seems really, really cold. There's the torches around the walls as light, and there's this massive big long table end to end. And every movie I've seen, they're just jam-packed with food. And it's like you've received an invite to sit at the king's table. You've been given that invite to do that. For me, or for you, is where the guest of honour. We've been asked into that place to sit at the bridal table or as close as we can in a wedding scenario. It goes on and says in front of. It's in public. It's not in secret. It's not something like, hey, let's go to the back shed. Let's have a barbie. It's not like that. It's like, you know, putting this out in front for everyone to see. And finally, it says, my enemies, it's on a battlefield. So put all that together, it's about you getting an invite to the most important celebration in town in a beautiful big castle with lovely big trestle table of food in public so everyone can see it. But what makes it worse, it's in a battlefield in the middle of a battle that's raging on around you. Hey, that's, you know, to unpack that verse, that kind of gives us that idea. It's on that battlefield. But who's the enemy? While we could do a whole sermon, let's just narrow it down to three particular enemies. And this is verses, you know, for us to look at. There's going to be verses amongst this, which we probably won't get the time to unpack today. But the first enemy would be the world around me. The world is in opposition to God because it worships itself. The world out there worships itself, and in some ways is in opposition to what God is. God calls us, as his creator, to worship him. We have many things coming against us in our day-to-day. And I'm sure, you know, even as you walk out the doors today, there'll be things that'll happen that feels like it's just closing in on us. So the world around me is one of the enemies. The second enemy is Satan is against me as well. Satan is against me. God says that Satan is real and he wants to defeat you. God loves you and has a wonderful plan, but Satan doesn't want that to take place. In John 10:10, it says, Satan wants to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus spoke those words. That's what Satan's intention is, to kill, steal, and destroy. You know, in life, sometimes when something happens, I kind of wonder, I look at those three words, I think, is this Satan trying to kill, steal, or destroy me? But Jesus says before that, I have come to give you life and life in the fullness. How good is that? You know, what a message for that, in that for us. Third enemy there is my old nature inside of me. As we learn about ourselves and understand ourselves more and more, we don't always do what we intended to do. And thank goodness there's someone like Paul who actually reinforces that. He goes, I want to live my life this way, but I end up living my life this way. Do you sit out like that? You know what? Each year I would love to be able to run 5K. You know, I would. I look at my body today and go, it's definitely not built and designed to run 5K. But we have those good intentions, but quite often it might be, I might fast walk a kilometre. You know what I mean? Like we set out with these goals, but sometimes it's hard to live that. And sometimes it's like that with our faith. We go, all right, I want to get up a reading plan. I want to read the Bible in a year. Has anyone ever read the Bible in a year? Well done. I look up to you both because I want to do that, but I just, there's a lot of words in that Bible. Yeah, Duncan's on his third year of it. Good on you, mate. That's like, you know what I mean? Like we try and live our life a particular way, but like Paul says, you know, he struggles. The things I want to do, I end up not doing, and the things I know are bad for me, I end up doing. How did the Coke can end up in my hand and empty all of a sudden? We know that's not good for you. Yeah. I know where the stash is if I want something to get me through. Do you know what I mean? Do you feel that sometimes? I feel it more often than not. So, you know, it's a challenge, isn't it? Now he says, in the presence of my enemies, I do a banquet. So what does this banquet symbolize? What does the banquet symbolize? And we're over the page now on the other side of that sheet. Well, it symbolizes two things. In the Bible, a banquet almost always represents two things. And the first thing, God wants and welcomes fellowship with me. In other words, God wants to make a time, an appointment, and hang out with me. But it's not a set appointment at 10 o'clock for 20 minutes on Friday. He wants to have fellowship with us all the time. God wants to hang out with you. He wants to welcome us into that space, to have that relationship with us, that connection with us. And one of the most amazing thing, or the truth is in the universe, that God who created the whole thing wants to know me and you. How good is that? He wants to know me, imperfect, challenged to live life a particular way. He wants to know me for who I am, and likewise, he wants to know you. Today, the equivalent of someone says to you, I want to have a coffee. Let's get together and have a coffee. Do you know what that says? It means I need caffeine and sugar and milk and dairy product for my bones, right? It doesn't say that at all. What does it say, Chris? Exactly. That's right. I want to spend some time with you. Okay, that might be the way we do it, and that's probably very cultural, but actually I want to meet with you and spend time and get to know you. When God throws a banquet for you, he's saying, I want to spend that time with you. I want to have that relationship with you. I want to get to understand you. I want to learn to love you more and more. Psalm 5:11 says this, and it's on your handout. It says, you welcome us with open arms when we run for cover to you. Let the party last all night. Stand guard over our celebration. So that's important. I want that with you. That's from the Message translation. Now, it's a party in a combat zone or a battlefield. It's like being a soldier in the front line of battle and suddenly being pulled back to meet with the general in the tent and share an amazing meal while the battle is going on around you. Song of Solomon's 2:4 says, he brings me to his banquet table and his banner over me is love. There used to be a song about that, didn't there? Yep, we're not going to sing it, just FYI. But there's a beautiful song that says that. His banner over me is love. Jesus, when he says in his commandments, two greatest commandments, love God, love others. Like the Bible is a story about some crazy love experiences right throughout from cover to cover. The passion that he had for the God has for his people, both in the Old Testament, the New Testament, but also the invitation for us to be in relationship with us in the here and now. When God wants to do his thing in you and through you, nothing is going to stop him. When God wants something to happen, when he wants to will that to make place, and even if we get in the way, he's going to make a way for that to happen. He's going to carve that way through. It's like right now, in our own space is, Sam and I never chose, said, actually, I want to go and lead Gungahlin Salvation Army. We never chose that, right? It wasn't a choice that we go, in our world, there's a job application. We get appointed there. But I'll tell you one thing, I believe in my heart, but I believe that, you know, God wants to do his thing both in us and through us. He wants to work in amongst us for the season of time in that space. He loves us and has a plan for us. Here's the second thing that the banquet means, and you might want to write that down in the blank. It says that God wants to bless me to show the world his goodness. God wants to bless me to show the world his goodness. Now, when we're talking bless, we've got to be careful of that word because sometimes that can be interpreted as bless me financially, you know, make me successful. It's not about that. It's about God having his favor towards us. Again, it doesn't mean life's going to be perfect or the world's going to be perfect or situations are going to be perfect, but God has his favor for us. His favor for us is the fact that he chose us, that Jesus died for us, that he's got a plan in part for us. You're a trophy of God's grace. I don't deserve the blessing on my life, but I don't deserve anything, nor the banquet. But God says, I just want to do it because I love you. You are an exhibit of God's grace in wherever you go. You take God's grace and exhibit that wherever you find yourself this afternoon, tomorrow, Friday, whenever. You take that with you, carries of that. And we talk often about the scattered church. Now, scattered church doesn't sound good, does it? But that's ultimately what we do. We come together to worship our Father, to learn from him, but then to take the message of hope and salvation to wherever we go. We don't stay inside these doors. I'm not good company 24/7. Ask my wife, she'll tell you. Psalm 31 says, your goodness is so great that you have stored up great blessings for those who honour you. You have done so much for those who come to you for protection. God says that I want to bless your life so all the people are going to look to you and go, wow, that girl's blessed. There's something different about that person or that guy. There's just something going on. I wonder what that is. God wants to bless us in a way that we can have an opportunity to speak into those situations or circumstances. It says that God has stored up great blessing for those who honor you. Stored up indicates that there's actually advanced planning in this. God hasn't all of a sudden, it's not a reaction, not a response, but he's stored it up ready to go at the right time. It means that God's plans is there in place for us, even in advance before your battle. But best of all, God had already planned the victory celebration, already had that in place. So my last question is, when we're talking about banquet, do you want to know what's on the menu? Yeah? Let's talk about priorities here, right? We want to know what's on the menu. You know, we want to know what's going to happen. And particularly God's banquet, what's that? Do you know what it is? Is everything God has promised in his word. Everything that God has promised in his word. The menu is the promises of God at work. And there is thousands of promises that you can glean in his word. But do we take the time to chew on them and to take them to heart? Why is it crucial to read the word of God? It's because it's God's opportunity to speak to us, isn't it? You know, I've heard it say before, God opens his mouth when you open the Bible and shuts it when we close it. Just a metaphor, but it helps us to understand that the way God's working. We know God works through his Spirit speaking into us and through other people beside us, but it just helps us with that image. The Bible says in Psalm 119, it says, the promises of your word taste sweet to me. They taste sweeter than honey in my mouth. In Psalm 34, it says, learn to savor how good the Lord is. This week in Sydney, as I mentioned earlier up there, I was looking at discipleship. I've been away at a few retreats this year. It's certainly really good to be able to sit and take the time to try and understand afresh again the workings of Jesus, the way that he just spent time intentionally meeting with his disciples, building relationship with them, conveying a message of hope and of life, and then imparting that to them. And the particular teaching we're following has taken Scripture and put it in chronological order to try and follow his journey through that area. I don't know if anyone's an avid map follower in the Bible. I've never been, but I tell you one thing, I got a fresh appreciation when you look. You know, Jesus was baptized down here by John the Baptist and then spent 5 days to get home with the disciples he chose to come follow me. Just four of them. You know, 5 days of traveling, walking through the wilderness. You just imagine the conversations they would have had in that time. Not recorded in Scripture, because the next time we know the story starts up here, it's 5 days later. But the conversation, that relationship they would have had as they went along. We can look at Scripture in many different ways. We can look at it as a textbook, a history book, an insurance policy, and each one has different tendencies. A textbook might scare you and remind you of school or university. I don't like textbooks. They're not much fun. A history book, I like history. You know, I really appreciate that. But that's not everyone's medium either. They don't all like that. Or maybe even an insurance policy. How many people read the product disclosure statement from cover to cover? Bit of bedtime reading. They're important documents, don't get me wrong. But depends on how we view scriptures. There's different tests that we can look at in that. If it's a textbook, a history book, or an insurance policy, whether it's for hell or for heaven or whatever, you're probably not going to read it. The book is more about God's love letter to you. God's love letter to you, to communicate to you. Just recently, going through some stuff, because that's what the sort of mode we're in at the minute, is I found a shoebox and it's full of letters to Sam and I, you know, when we were dating and stuff like that. And we still keep them. I'm a hoarder. Sam will tell you that. But the written letter carries a real a way to communicate, because you read through those things and it's someone's expression of words on paper. You get to hold it, you get to see the handwritten style, the words that they get to say, and you get to savor those words, don't you? God's word is much like that. He's communicated to us. It's been held throughout the generations to now to be able to do that. It's not a phone call and email. Emails are quite cold, aren't they? Text messages you can misinterpret. But it's God's word for us to be able to communicate to us. Now, the Bible is not for everyone. But the Bible is written for God's children. It's to communicate to God's children, those who have decided or want to explore faith in Christ. That's who it's written for, with that in mind. And it's through that that we read that. Now, one more thing. The promise, you prepare for me a banquet in the presence of my enemies, is both a now and later verse in Scripture, in Psalm 23. Because right now, while you're in the battle, you can have a banquet any day. You can open the book and it'll give you the strength that you need in that point in time. But there's one day to be a literal banquet for us, prepared for us in heaven. It's the now and then. The now and then. Because Isaiah 25 says this: the Lord will prepare a feast of the finest foods for all peoples, a banquet of the best of meats and finest of wines. And on this mountain, God will destroy the shroud that enfolds all prophets, and the sheet that covers all nations. What's a shroud, or what's a sheet? A shroud is literally what they put over a dead body, a person. It's like a covering for a mummy. They wrap it up, the dead body, in a shroud. And while we're all going to die, sorry to bring that to you, there's only, you know, death rate's still at 99.9%. There's only a couple recorded in Scripture that never died. We're not going to live forever here on earth. And that's the gloom that hangs over us. But everybody knows that God says that he's going to destroy the shroud of death that enfolds people and the sheet that covers all nations. Because the Bible says this. He says he will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away every tear from all faces, and he will remove the disgrace of his people from all the earth. The banquet is something that we can hold on to, the knowing that while we experience what we do now, that the promise is much greater. Everything God has promised in his word is the gift for him, for us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just, thank you, Lord, that you have prepared a banquet for us. Both now, as we experience life, as we navigate life, as we come up against challenges of all kinds, that despite what we think we experience, we know that it's only a blip on the radar, Lord. But even despite that, you care enough to take an interest in those situations that sometimes seem trivial in hindsight. God, we thank you that you do want to journey through us, that you do have planned out many things before us in advance to keep that in perspective. And we are just grateful for that today, Lord. So today, God, may we stand on your promises of your word, the promises that can speak to us like a love letter from a loved one, that speak of words of hope, of truth, of courage, and speak so much into our heart. And we've got that assurance today, Lord. What a great assurance that we can live under. So God, go with us and go before us today into whatever faces us as we walk out of these doors, knowing that you are there beside us. May we live in your blessing, in your favor, to take that out of this place, we pray today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. My name is Therese and I'm part of the community here. Thank you for joining us here today. We hope you've all enjoyed your time with us and found it meaningful. If you are new here and would like some more information, please speak to someone today or grab one of the flyers at the information table near the entrance. I just want to say what a blessing it was this morning to see our young people, Susanna, Miriam and Nathaniel, give their life to the Lord. We really must treasure and look after, as our church, our young people, as they are going to be the next generation. Just a quick short story. When the new Coles was built, when it was a brand new shopping centre, my family and I went to the opening, and they had balloons and competitions and face painting and all the rest. And this little child came up to me and said, "I'm lost, can't find my parents." I said, "Oh, sweetie, what's your name? Where are you from?" And she said, "You know me, I come to your church." Well, God sometimes speaks to me like that. He just hits me down with a dagger. And so we found the parents. It did end up in a happy ending. But God convicted me that I did not know the children in my church and I needed to put my time in Sunday school, so I did. So if anyone's looking for something to do in this church, I'm sure the children's ministry would love you. Get to know the kids. They are our next representatives for God in this world. So let's do that. I'll finish off this morning with the benediction. Go now with your trust in the Good Shepherd. And let us love, not just in words, but in truth and action. Believe in the name of Jesus Christ and love one another just as he commanded us. And may God be at your side, even in the valleys of death. May Christ Jesus be the cornerstone of your life, and may the Holy Spirit abide in you and tend to you with love and mercy all the days of your life. We go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ, amen. Thank you.